The perfect wisdom of our God revealed in all the universe. All things created by his hand and held together at his command. He knows the mysteries of the sea, of the stars are his. He guides the planets on their way and turns the earth through another day. The matchless wisdom of his ways that mark the path of righteousness. His word a lamp unto my feet, his spirit teaching and guiding me. And all the mysteries of the cross, that God should suffer for the lost, so that the fool might shame the wise, and all the glory might go to Christ. Oh, grant me wisdom above to pray for peace and cling to love, and teach me humbly to receive the sun and rain of your sovereignty. Each strand of sorrow has a place within this tapestry of grace. Trials I choose to say, your perfect will in your perfect way.
Thank you, Dan. Your perfect will in perfect way. Thank you, dear God. Wow. Well, what a pleasure and privilege for us to be able to gather again on a Sunday morning here in this beautiful sanctuary in the presence of Almighty God. Thank you, dear God. The Apostle Paul said many, many times in his letters to the New Testament churches, he would tell them that I've learned that in whatever state I'm in, to give God the glory and the praise. We know of the story where he was in the Philippian jail and literally in the wee hours of the morning, he was probably ill, he had no finances, he had nothing. But he was scaring the other prisoners to death and the jailer to death because this man's praising God. And his lesson to us, his testimony to us, is that in whatever state I'm in, I've been rich, I've been poor, I've been empty, I've been filled, I've been sick, I've been healed, but in whatever state I'm in, I give glory to my Lord and Savior. Well, there's a lesson in that for us, and especially as we are now, I believe, through the worst portion of the pandemic of this last year. It has caused us all to take a real stock in normal, in status quo, hasn't it? It's changed a lot about our lives. It's changed a lot about our jobs and our careers. It's changed a lot about ministry. It's a moving target in trying to reach people with the gospel. Everything has changed as a result of this. And I believe to those that have been obedient to God, that have looked to God, to look to His Holy Spirit, I believe that God has blessed us with the steps that we are to take. That's His promise to us, that He will guide us. And for Lucy and me, one of the new normals that we have, last year about this time, all of the productions were canceled at Cornerstone Television. And so there were limited studio productions, but nothing out in the field. Everything was very, very limited. And God used that to change our normal. In the past, with our Faith and Family channel, we would do studio productions, or we would do what are called EFP productions, where we'd go out and do these productions in the field, and I would have a crew of people. Well, because of this new normal, Lucy became my crew. And I have to tell you, she is just the most extraordinary blessing in this. God has anointed her, and we have just had a run for this last year of doing these beautiful productions from iconic places all throughout Western and Central Pennsylvania. We just completed our spring series, a whole new group of a dozen for the spring. And it included the construction site next to PNC Park. It included the world's steepest street. I don't know if you know this, but right in Beachview is the world's steepest street. It's a 37-degree angle, and you have to go out there sometime to see it, to believe it. It's an old cobblestone street, and God blessed us to do a production there. And so we've been out and about, and we're having a blast doing these anointed one-minute messages. One that we just did last week and is really the catalyst for our lesson today is one that we did at a 600-acre sheep farm. Now, 600 acres is big. That's 220 feet by 220 feet. It's 600 of those. And it's over in Bedford County, and a wonderful family, the Monsoor family, that Jack and Kathy, we got to meet them and their grandchildren, and they very graciously hosted us for this one-minute message that we wanted to do there. And it was interesting because when we got there, they have over 2,000 sheep. And she was telling me about how this is a very important time for what they do for their business, because this is called lambing season. What that means is that the ewes are impregnated, and then they are carrying this young lamb until about this time of the year. And so throughout April, then, is lambing season when these lambs are born. Now, in the meantime, when they're near giving birth to these lambs, the ewes become rotund, and they're off balance. Okay, they're out of whack. They're top heavy. They just still have these four little spindly legs, but they have this big old body up on top of that. And if they fall, it was just beautiful, the rolling hills where these sheep were. If they get tipped on their side, it's a very dangerous situation to the lamb and to the mother, because it is called downcast. And when the sheep, when these females, if they were to get tipped on their side, they do not have the ability to right themselves. Now, they would have the same reaction that you and I have. When they get tipped, they literally kick frantically, and the four legs are just going as fast that you can barely see them move. But it's only when they stop kicking that literally the shepherd can come over and rescue them. I had read about that back in biblical times, where the good shepherd, and literally what the good shepherd would have to do is, have you ever fallen asleep on your side and your arm goes to sleep? And you get up and you just have no motion in it, you have no movement in it. Well, that's what happens to the sheep's body, to the legs, because the weight of this lamb literally asphyxiates both the mother and the lamb. And so the good shepherd Once the sheep stop kicking, the good shepherd then will massage the legs to bring blood flow back into the legs, and then literally hold the lamb in his or her arms so that they can put the sheep upright, and now it's able to stand on its own. It's called downcast. Well, think in your life how many times circumstances knock us for a loop. You've heard that expression. Boy, I'm just thrown for a loop. I never expected the doctor to say that. I never expected my husband to say that. I never expected my boss to say that. I never expected that news. And it's really thrown me for a loop. We're downcast many times by our circumstances. But when we stop kicking, and our inclination, just like the lamb, is to kick and kick and kick and really to generate, we can do it. We'll get ourselves upright. But it's only once we stop kicking that the good shepherd literally can take us in his arms, lift us, massage what needs to be massaged, and allow us to come upright. Our scripture today is a very powerful word. It's a metaphor. It's an allegory. It's talking about God, our Lord, and who he is. He's the good shepherd. Now, to give you a context for this passage from the Gospel of John, John 10, just to give you a context for it, in 9, Jesus heals a man who was born blind. And the Pharisees will have nothing to do with giving Jesus credit for this healing. So they're trying to find the angle. They're trying to find a way that they can explain this. And what's interesting is as I read this Gospel, I want you to keep in mind that the parents were being threatened, essentially, of being thrown out of the temple, because the Pharisees would have nothing to do with this. They considered this heresy. So they were saying to the parents, you know, you've got to tell them that your son wasn't blind, or come up with some sort of an excuse. And they said, he's old enough, he's a man. Let him tell you what happened, because they didn't want to jeopardize their position. And that's, Jesus references this as in this description. This is now from the Gospel of John. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. And he was talking literally about the mother and father of this young man who was healed. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. This is what Jesus is saying. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, and we surely do. Thank you, God. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Indeed, dear Lord. Thank you, Father. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. It's talking of the Gentiles. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Praise be to God. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again eternally. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. Thank you, dear Lord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it back up again. This command I received from my Father. Praise you, dear God. What a powerful word, and what a powerful illustration. I think that's probably my first real picture of Jesus was as the Good Shepherd. Probably in the earliest days of Sunday school, back in Johnstown at Homestead Avenue United Methodist Church, my mother would have been a Sunday school teacher. And I remember in her classroom a picture of Jesus holding a sheep and other lambs around him, the good shepherd. That's how I envision, that's how I see Jesus as the good shepherd. So it's very, very important. This passage of scripture is a challenge to us. We see the many faces of who the Lord is, the many roles that he plays in our life. But for this morning, what we're learning about are the three aspects of the excellency of the Lord's power. This is our lesson for today. And there's one other passage of Scripture, just kind of as a setup for this. And it says, this is Paul's writing, and he says, praise be to God that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. He calls it a treasure because he says that the excellency of the power is of God and not of us. And that's a treasure. You better believe we need to thank God that it doesn't rest upon us, that life doesn't rest upon our power. And we have this treasure. It is a precious, more precious than gold, that the excellency of the power is of God and not of us. And then he goes on to say, we're hard-pressed on every side. We have crazy circumstances. Bad things happen to us. But we're never, ever destroyed. The Good Shepherd is there for us. So let's take a look at the three aspects of the excellency of the power that is of the Lord. Number one is the Lord is our refuge and our strength. This is a wonderful passage from Proverbs, and it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in and are safe. I don't know about you, but can you remember the smell of the electric blanket? Raise your hand. Now, you're dating yourself when you do this, because I don't know that there have been electric blankets for the last... Come on, I know that you know what electric blankets are. Okay. Electric blankets. And I remember there is a smell that I have in my mind that is more pungent than anything that I can remember back as a child. But when I would have a nightmare, when I would have a bad dream, and before I would be in school, I remember when I would have a nightmare that I would run over to my mom and dad's bedroom, and I would get in between my mom and dad. They had an electric blanket on their bed. And just that kind of a little bit electric and a lot wool, that smell, boy, I got to tell you, that was the Good Shepherd. Holly was talking about the wool and shearing the sheep and so forth. Man, that wool and electric smell, that combination, is the most secure smell to me. To this day, when I smell something like that, where there's the hint of a little bit of an electric smell with that wool, for me, that was so precious because in there I was safe. That's what the Good Shepherd is to us. He is our refuge and our strength. In Hebrew, the term is Jehovah Ra, the Lord, my shepherd. And what a beautiful promise we have in that, that he is our shepherd. He will take us where we need to go. He will do everything that we need for our safety and for our security. Thank you, dear God. The second aspect of the excellency of the Lord's power is that the Lord is our provider and our protector. This is a wonderful passage from Deuteronomy, and it says, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. What a promise that is. He is faithful. I have to tell you, I'm not. You aren't. But he is. Thank you, dear God. In Hebrew, it's Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. And this means the Lord will provide. Can we say that? Can we acknowledge that and say amen? Dear God, you provide. You are faithful. All that I needed, thy hand hath provided. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. This from the book of Lamentations. New mercies I see. All that I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is your faithfulness, dear God, unto me. That you have a plan and you have a purpose for me, dear God, and for you. Thank you. Thank you, dear God. Who are we that you would have this precious anointing on each of us? Thank you, Father. Think of the story when Isaac was with his father Abraham, and they were on Mount Moriah. And he asked his father, where is this sacrifice? And I kind of think in my mind that a little bit lightheartedly that Abraham would have said to him, Isaac, I have some good news and some bad news. We're going to give a sacrifice to the Lord today. Well, what's the bad news? It might be you. But we know that God is faithful, that God provides. This was a test to Abraham and his faith and trust in God. Not just a head knowledge, not just an intellectual acknowledgement that, well, yeah, there's a God in heaven. But dear God, I know who you are, the Ancient of Days. He is that he is. I am that I am, is what the Bible tells us. He is. And when we acknowledge him, he is faithful. In whatever crazy situation you might be in your life, we somehow kind of hold back, almost like Adam and Eve in the garden after they recognized their nakedness and they hid from God. They were embarrassed from God. And why are you hiding? Like somehow God's not going to know where you are. But literally for us, we need to acknowledge him as God, as our provider, and as our protector in every situation of our life. The last few years, Lucy and I have just experienced this specific anointing so many times, and it is precious to acknowledge God in those situations that years ago I'm not sure I would have acknowledged God in. I'm not sure that I would have had the trust in God. I'm not sure that I would have had the faith in God to trust in him, to acknowledge, God, I'm vulnerable here. This is a terrible situation. It was my own doing. And I'm uncomfortable acknowledging this to you. There is such extraordinary blessing when we acknowledge the highs, the lows, and everything in between before the Creator. Thank you, dear God. And now number three, the third aspect of the excellency of the Lord's power is the Lord is our hope of eternal victory. Thank you, dear God. And this is what we read in Psalm 27. This is a Psalm of David. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. Literally, the Lord is my victory. You know the pride that we take when the Pirates win or when the Steelers win? My gosh, you'd think you ran for the touchdown. You know, people are so excited when they go to work on a Monday. Hey, boy, those Steelers, you know, we did a pretty good job there yesterday. You didn't. You watched it on TV. What are you talking about? You know, I think to myself sometimes. But literally, we internalize that and we translate that. That was my, I watched it. That was my victory. Well, how much more do we have that Jesus generously shares, graciously shares that victory with you and me? That we literally can go out and say that I'm victorious. That, oh, death, where is your victory? Sin, where is that anymore? Thank you, dear God, for that precious gift that you allow us to share in your victory. It was your victory at the cross. It was your victory at the resurrection. It was your victory that you now give to us. And we literally can claim that as our own. John 3:16 is the most quoted of probably all of the New Testament scriptures. And I love it because it really says what our relationship with him is all about. That for God so loved the world, that what? He gave his only begotten Son. Why? So that whosoever believeth should not perish but have everlasting life. It's all of what he did and now for us simply to receive. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I close with a final story. One of the power minutes that Lucy and I did last summer was a very special experience for us. It was at the Flight 93 Memorial. And in doing the research, we do a lot of research. We try to pack a lot into that 1 minute. And so we want to be historically correct and accurate. And we do a lot of research. It takes days to come up with what the Holy Spirit will speak in 50 seconds, actually, because there's an open and close. So even less than a minute. But as I was researching this, I didn't realize this. I hadn't really heard this in the secular media. But when the Flight 93, as it was heading to the West Coast, probably somewhere between Cleveland and Toledo, of course it was diverted then, and it was en route to Washington. And at some point in that, as they were going, very shortly before they crash landed, they overtook the plane and they crash landed because they did not want that to do harm to what was a full session of Congress, and nobody knew what the destination would be. They just knew that it would be Washington, but that it would be a lot of casualty there. And these men and women began to pray, and led by Todd Beamer, they began to say the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And you anoint my head with oil. My cup of blessing overflows. Surely, may your goodness and mercy follow me all of the days of my life. And may we dwell with you, dear Heavenly Shepherd, forever and forever. May that be our prayer as a family today. May that be our petition to God. By acknowledge him, by being still just for this last moment, and acknowledging him as God. Join me as we go to our Heavenly Father. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for this day, and for all of the blessing that you bring to us. And dear God, we do acknowledge you for who you are, the great I am. And Father, we just pray for this time now. We just pray, Lord, from all of the chaos and commotion that's in our lives, we just pray that you would quiet our hearts and help us to be still. And Lord, what you say to us as a command to be still and know you as God, this is what the psalmist tells us. But Lord, we lift to you now this day as a prayer. And Father, we do indeed acknowledge you for who you are, the great I am. Thank you, Father. Father, we pray your blessing upon this church, upon the families that make up this church. We thank you, dear God, for our community, for our region, for our state, for our nation. And dear God, we pray that we would acknowledge you as a people. We pray, dear God, that in every aspect of our life in America, that we would acknowledge you as God. We would acknowledge you as creator. We would acknowledge you, dear God, as redeemer. We would acknowledge you, dear God, as provider and healer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, dear Lord Jesus. We pray your blessing to be upon our church. We pray for Tony and Dottie, the Felici family and extended families. We praise you and we thank you, dear God, for this church and this ministry. We pray, dear God, for your light to shine brightly in each of us and in this church, that others that are in the darkness of this world would be able to come to you and see you by your light in each of us. Bless us now, dear God, that we may be a blessing. You indeed are the great shepherd. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. And all of God's people say, amen. Amen.